Should come as no surprise, harvest pressure is starting to really filter into this marketplace. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As we look at this Monday market wrap-up, Jim McCormick joins us. He is with agmarket.net. And let's kind of start there. Harvest pressure is really starting to creep into the discussions that we're seeing in this marketplace, even ahead of another crop update coming out later today.
Yes, we are. I mean, this market is going to start really looking at two things, the harvest pressure and where we're going to put this crop, and then where the yields actually come in at. Obviously, we had to report on Friday, saw a slight reduction in yield, but not probably near as much as a lot of supply bulls were hoping for. But the government did their mathematical formulation. They got it. Next month, they'll weigh the ears and the pods, and we'll get a much better handle if those size isn't there. But most people anticipating this, Susan, this crop to get a little bit smaller due to the disease pressure. I'm in that camp. And what we're watching for is this harvest is really ramping up. If we start moving north, what does the actual yield results are we seeing, and not just estimates?
So having said that, I mean, obviously, people are still reacting to the WASDE numbers that came out on Friday. Some questioning where some of those acre numbers are coming from. What do you see next for this trade? Are we still going to filter some of this information in this week into the trade?
Well, I think the one thing, let me talk about the acres number. Yes, a lot of people are questioning the acres numbers, but I'm going to tell you, Susan, the acres number is correct. Okay, the acres number is derived from the FSA data, certified acres insurance. So what it tells me is this number was not the number that's wrong that we came out with on Friday. What it turns out is the number that was wrong, that was way understating the amount of acres being planted, was that June 30th survey that was released on June 30th. That was the survey that was off dramatically. Now, why was it off dramatically? I have no idea. But that is going to be the question, and that's going to be the question going into when we get this survey in March and then again at the end of the, in June next year, because after missing it so bad this year, there's going to be a lot of skepticism of what these final, future numbers or surveys for acres actually mean.
What do you see for demand for this product as it gets ready to leave the field?
Right now, on the corn, I think you had a really big problem. I mean, what they've done is they raised the crop working number 1.5 billion bushels. To offset it, they raised demand a little over 700 million to do it, Susan. That is what they do, raise supply, raise demand. The problem is the demand doesn't look right. When you think about it, if you're raising demand, there's two things that are going to happen if you're going to get people to buy more of your product. The first one, either A, you got to get more competition to move away. You essentially got to have competition move out. We know Brazil's got a big crop. At this point, you got to count on South America's upcoming growing season to be there. So we know the competition is there, so we're not going to get it there. The other side of the coin is then you got to get prices to go lower to stimulate demand. Prices have not really broke since that number has come out. So I'm going to argue we haven't bought that demand. The real red flag is feed. Feed and residual number, they've got it up dramatically from a year ago. That just seems illogical when you look at all the cattle that are stuck across the border, something like 1.3 million head. So we think that feed number is way, way too high. We also look at the ethanol number. The ethanol grind's been good, but you're looking at near record grind for ethanol being needed to hit that number they're using right now. So the ethanol number may be too high. So what I fear is going to happen for the people that are very bullish on the yield losses, I'm in that camp, that yield loss is going to come down. But the fact of the matter is, if you kept demand unchanged year on year, you could drop the national yield 8 bushels, and you'd still be looking at a plus 2 billion carryout.
So do we see, I mean, obviously China is playing this little game of, no, we're not going to buy any product from the United States. How much pressure is that going to put on this soybean market going forward?
It could get immense, especially in the cash market, maybe even more on the basis on the board. If you're up in North Dakota right now, you realize you cannot sell beans. There's some places that don't even have a bid. If you do got a bid, it's got an 8 in front of it. It's really getting ugly. That could go everywhere in the Midwest, Susan. The problem is, on a normal fall from mid-September to maybe mid-November, October, we ship somewhere between 500 and 600 million bushels of beans to the Chinese. Some of it going out of the PNW, some of it going out of the Gulf. If China refuses and manages to stay pat and does not buy our beans, all of a sudden, we've got 600 million bushels of beans that we normally are pushing out that there's no way to go with it. And if there's no way to go with it, then you might get elevators like what you're seeing in North Dakota, situated on the Illinois River, say, I'm not going to buy the beans. I have no place to sell them. That backs it up. That forces beans to maybe stay on farm, which then potentially pushes corn into the market. Now, we've seen a great export program for corn right now. normally ship that corn in the spring, so maybe we'll start shipping more corn. But essentially, if you're not moving grain to China, it is going to cause, I think, all sorts of problems all across the Midwest on the storage availability that we have on farm.
Yeah, definitely going to make it interesting as we move forward marketing, as we watch the rumor headlines that continue to plague not only our grains, but the livestock in this trade action over the next couple of weeks.
It is. I mean, the bean market was under pressure earlier today. Then it rallied on news that President Xi and Trump are going to speak on a phone conversation. It does not, from what I understand, it has nothing to do with grains. It has to do with the TikTok. If I'm looking at it right now, I'm guessing we're not going to see a whole lot of trade negotiations go very much forward now. Because what's going to go on, Susan, remember, we've got, there's people suing the Trump administration saying he does not have the power to put these tariffs in place. The tariffs should have been put in place by Congress. The two lower courts have essentially sided with the lawsuit, saying Trump overstepped his boundary. President Trump has now taken that up to the Supreme Court. He's asking the Supreme Court to expedite the hearing. We may not find out if these tariffs are going to stick till November. If you're China or any other people who are negotiating trade deals, my guess is they're just going to sit on their hands and wait and see how these court handles it. Because if the court essentially says these trade tariffs are essentially illegal, we're back to square one.
Livestock side, we saw the sell-off happen on Friday, a bit of a turnaround in the market today. Again, a little bit of rumor headline might have been factoring in as well.
That's it. On Friday, there was rumors that the border was going to be open sooner than later. Today, it looks like that rumor has been shut down. So a lot of the value that we lost on Friday is being put right back in today. I mean, we got a cattle on feed report here at the end of the week, folks. It is going to show what we already know. The cattle supply is incredibly tight. So where this market play is right now, Susan, it is trying to find a point where essentially the consumer says, not enough. The prices are too high. It's just, I've had enough. I'm going to switch to maybe pork. You've seen the pork prices rally recently, and that's part of the reason. Pork is catching some of that protein demand where people essentially said, I just can't afford this high price.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Jim McCormick joining us today. He's with agmarket.net. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Monday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.